Welcome to Crank's Guide to A/B Testing. Today we're going to talk through our 8-step plan to creating your first successful A/B test. So how do you plan the perfect A/B testing program? Well, here at Crank we think there are 4 key areas: define, prioritize, build, and deploy. Each of those 4 areas have 2 tasks within each. In the define phase, it's all about defining what you want to test, and also setting out your success criteria, knowing whether you've improved or not. In the prioritize phase, it's about understanding how much traffic you have and how long the test will need to run for, as well as then prioritizing each of your tests so you do the most important first. Then becomes the build phase, so you want to mock up prototypes and then build those tests ready for your review in the development environment. And then once you've done all of that checking and quality assurance in development, you're ready to roll them out. So you roll them out, evaluate them. If they then are successful, you want to then make those tests permanent on your website. So step one, defining your test hypothesis. We believe that you need to categorize your hypotheses into areas that you can then action. In this example, we've looked at 3. User experience. What does that look like in terms of my website, in terms of the look and feel of that? Website functionality, core capability of the website, whether that be the checkout flow, payment providers, or maybe the sort order or the way products appear on your product listing pages. And thirdly, the focus around content over commerce or content over product. Once you've categorized those, you need to write up your requirements. So for each test hypothesis, you need to define what device you want to run the test on, what the source of traffic is potentially. Is it email? Is it paid search? Is it social traffic? Is there a specific set of products or a set of pages you want to test or run a test on? And finally, what problem are you trying to solve? Is it about getting people to add to cart? Is it about getting people to find product? Is it about getting people to make a purchase? Is it getting people to sign up to a newsletter, generate a lead, come back more often? What is the challenge you're trying to solve? So how do you create your first hypothesis? So we always at Crank start with data. So on the left-hand side, we've got channels, and running across to the top, we have the metrics. We can see here in this particular example, we've seen a big decrease in the number of people coming from email viewing products, a 15% drop. We know that the checkout completion rate has gone down as well a little bit, and both of those things have impacted what is a very profitable channel. Email generates on average per customer £75, or revenue per user, with a cost per acquisition of around £10. So a very profitable channel, but that conversion rate actually has been impacted. My hypothesis would be, can we get people to view more products? What is causing that? What are the challenges to that? Is it a high bounce rate? So we want to focus on the email channel, getting people in front of the right product. So once you've defined your hypothesis, the next step is to set out your success criteria. In this simple example here, we've looked at product view conversions, add to cart conversions, and cart completes. So for the scenario we looked at just a minute ago, where email, we found in the data that email was a problem, people not viewing product, the single defining or the primary metric we're going to focus on is product view conversion. And the way that we can measure that is how many people that arrive on our site actually go to view a product. Some people would say ended up on a PDP or a product detail page. Of course, we could look at how many people added products to their basket on the add to cart or completed their cart purchase process or purchase journey. But actually for us, the primary metric is around product view conversion. So really what you want to then do is add that criteria, that outcome or set of KPIs to your original hypothesis. And that allows us to know whether we are affecting the metric we're trying to improve. Next up is understanding how long this test needs to run for. Typically, we find there are 3 things that impact the test. Obviously, the amount of traffic that you have is important. Having a site with very few number of visitors will mean the test will need to run longer. And the whole art of this is the more traffic we have, the more reliable the test, and therefore the more accurate or faith we can have in the results. If we only tested this on 4 people and 2 of those people found a product and 2 of those people didn't find a product, the result is not significant or robust, as we would call it. For us, what we want to do is to have a high amount of volume, and therefore that will impact the test or the length of the test. So first things first, which page is this test going to run on? First things first, how many pages is this test going to run on? Is it one page or multiple pages? Is that page a high traffic or a low traffic page? If it's a low traffic page, the test will need to run for longer. How many devices is it going to run on? All devices or one specific device? If you run it on tablet where you've got less visitors, the test will need to run for longer. And thirdly, how many tests are you going to run? Of course, you can do an A, B, C, D, E test where you're running multiple tests at the same time, testing colors and maybe language or tone of voice or layout. But the more tests you do, the longer it will take to create the right results. So ideally, if you have a website with a smaller amount of traffic, then choose pages which have a high number of visitors, run it on multiple devices or your most popular device, and run less tests. Next up is setting out your priorities. There are many tests or candidates that you could potentially have. So you need a way of prioritizing the ones that are going to have the biggest impact. Outline what your criteria is. In this particular example, we've got business potential, and for us, that's revenue. Speed to market, how quickly can we create that test and bring it to life? How much is that going to cost us? What external resources do we need or licenses do we need to make that happen if we're using specific software? And is there a benefit to the customer? Once you've done that, you then need to identify what the organizational focus is. So for us, the organizational focus in this case is about speed to market. We've got to beat our competitors. Weirdly, the revenue piece is actually our lowest priority. So speed to market, number four for us, that's our highest priority. So we would upweight any of those items that came in there. We would then ask the questions and create a scoring for business potential, speed to market, cost of change, and customer impact or benefit. So the range might be business potential, £100 will be low, £1,000 might be high, or £10,000 might be very high. And then we would add or times that by the organizational focus. That then allows us to separate and create and deliver the tests that are most important to us. Once you've created your criteria of the tests you want to deliver first, one crucial step might be to create some design prototypes. Now, if this is a change that the customer won't see, for example, a performance thing or a payment provider, then of course you don't need this step. But if you're making changes that customers will see, you do want to make a prototype to show people what it would look like. So on the left-hand side, this is our A test, if you like. So this is our generic experience. This is the experience customers already get today. And that generic experience, we're going to give to 50% of our customers on our A test. Haven't changed anything there. And what we're trying to prove is whether that menu, the burger menu in the top left-hand corner, can be made more visible to get people to purchase. On the right-hand side, we've got two versions. We've got test A and test B. Now, given that this ribbon, if you like, or the wincher or the menu at the top of the page is going to be across the site, we know we're going to get a large amount of traffic, and we're applying this to all devices. So we know that we can actually run a couple of tests. So you can see here, we've got the proposed designs, we've got the word shop with the burger menu, and we've got that in white with purple writing and purple with white writing. We're going to see which one delivers the most. And again, each of these groups, test A and test B against the current design, each one of those will be mutually exclusive. In other words, they won't see each other's designs. They will be unique. Only that audience will only ever see that design. Now you have your prototypes and your design, you want to push this into your development environment, a safe place where you can check to see whether those tests look right and whether they're working. First things first, create those in your testing tool and make sure you've got a random split in place. So whether that's a 50-50 split, an 80-20 split, obviously, that would be based on the traffic and the impact that will have on your website and obviously the test you're running. Next thing to do is to make sure you've got all your tags in place so you can see for those different A/B tests that data is recognized within your web analytics tool. And then, of course, you need to make sure that your primary metric, the metric you're tracking, the thing you're trying to influence, is also available for analysis. A crying shame if you set up a campaign, you set up a test, you were A/B testing that particular campaign or activity, only to find you weren't tracking add to cart, or only to find that you weren't tracking view to product page. Deploy the test, then get so that people internally can see it, Check it, make sure they're happy with it, whether you restrict it to an IP address, whether you restrict it to certain people in the business through a logon. But what you want to do is you want to forcibly show that test so people can see what it looks like. Then validate on that A/B test when people click through, make a purchase, a dummy purchase, that all of that data is being recorded. And then the two final things is all about notifications. So you want to be notified when that test had reached validity, or if you like, has been proven based on the right volume, so you don't need to run the test anymore. And secondly, if there's been any problems, you might find there's a spike in page load time. So the site is taking a huge amount more time to load because the test might be causing a problem. Or you've had a huge drop in conversion rates because there might be a problem with a button or not working. So you need to know when those things are happening as well. So put those thresholds in place so that you get notified if there's any issues. Once you've rolled out the test and you're happy with everything, remember the categories we had earlier, which is user experience, website functionality, and content versus product. We also had target business outcomes, you know, checkout completions, add to cart rate, and product view rate. So we might have a test. The test I'm looking at here is a product view rate. So test number one, I want to see whether the user experience of my test improved, was higher, the product view rate was higher than that of the generic experience. So in this simple example, I'm just going to see whether that improved that metric. Now, what's interesting is we find quite often the primary metric you're looking at might not change, but another metric might change. So in this test one, not only am I going to check product view rate, I'm also going to check add to cart rate, checkout completions, and other things. I might look at bounce rate. I might look at average order value. But it's important to compare all of those metrics to see whether your test has been successful. So now your test has been successful. So what's next? You might decide that running the test in your test environment is fine. You might want to increase that, but at some point you're going to want to offer that experience to all your customers. At that point, you're going to need to make it live, if you like, push it into your live environment, you know, your production world where all your customers see it. So to do that, make sure you provide your requirements and the new designs to your development team. Ensure that you have all of the relevant tags in place for recording certain events. So whether that be add to cart or whether that be changing a filter, whatever the test is, make sure that those tags that were for testing or just that test are available across the whole website now. Obviously test the changes in the existing environment to make sure that there isn't a problem or impact on add to cart or other functionality. Now you're rolling this out across the site. Of course, test it on different devices to make sure that it works across all devices, mobile and tablet and desktop and different browsers. And then, of course, launch that as core website functionality. So as a recap, here are 8 steps to creating your successful A/B testing plan. There's a define phase, which is all about understanding what you want to do, what the data is telling you, and therefore what the metric is or the outcome you're trying to influence. The second bit is all around prioritization. Make sure you've got the right volume and the right duration test outlined, and then set your priorities. Your priorities need to be a balance of cost and time to market, coupled with customer benefit and business benefit. Looking across those and prioritizing the ones that are going to have the biggest bang for their buck are obviously the ones you want to do first. Then you're in the build phase. So it's about creating those design mockups, if you need to do that for your test, and creating that in a test or a safe environment, that test in a development environment, where you can see whether things are working, whether things are causing problems. You then roll that out, evaluate that. If that's then being successful, you can then roll that out as a permanent change on your website. Thanks for listening to the Crank A/B Testing Guide. Any questions, please get in touch at wearecrank.com.